When I was young, I spent most of my summers on my great aunt's farm in Hillsboro, West Virginia, just not too far from the iconic Greenbrier Hotel. Three little cousins, two girls and a boy, had the run of the whole farm. We had fishing ponds to fish in along with a boat. We had hay barns to climb in. We had our own horse and a buggy that went along with it. We climbed in cattle pens. We went out to the lush gardens that she had, and we had every kind of fruit and vegetable imaginable. And not only that, she had a very beautiful, neatly manicured yard, and it was the perfect place to play round after round of the game of croquet. We also hung out with the hired hands who ran the farm, and their language was atrocious. We decided one summer, and I'm being very honest and I'm confessing here, that we were going to use all the bad words that we heard from the hired hands, and we really didn't even know what some of them meant. We knew that we could not take any of that bad language into the farmhouse where our wonderful aunt cared for us and loved us and was rearing us in the faith. And so we cussed and called each other names and looked at other people and called them names behind their backs all during the day. As soon as we left the house after breakfast, the language that we heard from these farmhands would roll off our tongues, and we thought we were the coolest things in the world. We thought we were very grown up. We even slicked our hair back to look like some of the farmhands. Those workers chuckled at us. Even when we imitated their language as they were fixing the tractors or baling hay with us in tow, and not one of them ever took the time to correct our language. And so there we were, three angels at night and three hellions during the day. In no time at all, summer was over, and we were told that our mothers and fathers were coming to pick us up. They were going to take my cousins back to Springfield, Illinois, and me back to Charleston, West Virginia. We had been together for almost 3 months, and unfortunately, the language that we had adopted had become a habit. Well, one warm August afternoon, the three of us climbed way up to the top of the barn and talked about going home and going back to school. We were not thrilled at all to go back to school. We knew full well what we were doing was wrong. In addition, I knew full well that my bad habit would never set well in my father's house. Just one little slip of my tongue, and I would not see the light of day for weeks. I had to get control of my tongue and fast. So in our secret hiding fort, high up in the barn, where we stacked up bales of hay to make a shelter, we decided right then and there that we had to let go of everything that we were doing right that day. We had gotten ourselves into a mess, and we had to straighten it out. Not only that, but every single night we laid on our Aunt Nita's canopied bed. It was pristine and beautiful, and she pulled out the Presbyterian Catechism. She took us to the Presbyterian Church every Sunday, too. And she would say, "Who made you?" And we would yell, "God did." And she would say, "What else did God make?" "God made all things," we would yell joyfully. knowing full well what we had done all day. And she said, "Why did God make you? For his own glory," we would yell back. On and on the questions went through that catechism, and we knew all about sin. And so, perched up really high in that hayloft, we made the decision to let it all go. We let that habit go that day. Luckily, we had 2 days to practice good language before our parents picked us up. And when they pulled down that road to get us, we were new kids. No one except the hired hands and God knew about our poor choices during the summer. Bad language in any shape or form, gossip, lying, exaggeration, crudeness, slander, curse words, distorting something, false flattering, mocking words, they don't set well in our Heavenly Father's house either. And if we're Christians, it doesn't set well anywhere that we go. Solomon, the Bible warns us over and over about the power of our tongues. And in today's scripture, Solomon was warning us about the power that our tongues have. Not only that, Jesus said the same thing when he said, "Listen and understand what I'm saying. It's not the things a person puts in his mouth that makes him wrong. It's the things that a person says with his mouth that makes him wrong." That comes from the Gospel of Matthew. In fact, from start to finish in the Bible, there are over 100 different scriptures about how we need to get our tongue tamed. I think God's trying to get our attention, don't you? Well, in this life hack series, and we're in message number 2, we've been looking at ways to make our life simpler or just to find a better way. And there are thousands of ways that you can do that. To find a different way, make your life simpler, you can go to lifehack.com, which, by the way, is like Hints from Heloise. Or you can simply order a book online on Amazon. It'll come right in. And then you have a whole book of these life hacks. Some of them are extremely clever. Sometimes our real lives at home get messy. How many of you have one of those drawers you pull out at home that is a hodgepodge of everything? We all do, and sometimes we want to get that organized. Well, Ruthie Estes had a mess at her home with batteries being all over the place. She wanted them all together in one place, so she ordered this nifty little battery organizer, and every single size battery is right there from 9-volt to AAA, and there's even a meter to test them. Isaiah told me this morning, he's in our TV room right now, he has dead batteries all over his house. He needs to figure out where to take them so he can get rid of them in the proper way. I think that's pretty awesome. Now, my husband loves to figure out how he can save money. It's just him. He loves that. So he read that from Amy Davis on Click 2 Houston that you can go out and buy one of these little diffusers, maybe at a dollar store. You fill it up with soap called like Healthy Hand Soap, the rest with water, and guess what? You have foaming bath soap that didn't cost you $15 like what I bought from the Hallmark gift card. This was my Christmas soap. So he thinks he's really doing a great job when he is saving that money. But ideas abound in Everywhere you look, there are great ideas. But when it comes to our tongues and our mouths, there's a better way, and that's Jesus' way. We cannot act one way here and then go home and act another. Or let's reverse that. We can't act one way here, saying things, and go home and be all sweet and not saying anything. During the Civil War, there was a soldier that was sympathetic to both sides. He lived in a borderline state, and one day he would side with one, and the very next day he would side with the other. So he thought, I need to compromise here. So he wore the Confederate gray coat, and then he put on the Union blue trousers, half and half. Things went really well until the battle got fast and furious. The Union army shot him in the coat, and the Confederates shot him in the seat of his pants. We've got to be dressed in a matched uniform. Our words of faith and even our self-talk must match up if we expect anything from God. And there's one more thing. We've all been guilty of one or more things that I mentioned earlier on. There's not a one of us in here that has not been guilty of one of the things that I mentioned above. Our words have great power. God spoke the world into being with the power of his words. And since we're made in his image, we've been given the power of the spoken word as a gift from God. It's a gift. It's huge. You can speak power. You can also speak life, or you can speak death to another human being. In other words, you can make the decision to build somebody up, or you can make the decision to tear somebody down. I recently read about two teachers who used their power of the spoken word to tear down their two students by saying, "You're too stupid to do anything. You'll never make it in the world." And it caused those two students some great, great pain. Now, I was a teacher one time. You can get flustered with your students, but they had no idea to whom they were talking. They, of course, didn't know God's plans for these two students' lives. Thank goodness Walt Disney, who was inattentive and drew all the time, and Albert Einstein, who didn't make good grades because everything was just too simple for him, had others speak life into them and encourage them, because our lives have been forever changed with what they have done. But unfortunately, there are others who have never, ever gotten past the hurtful remarks. They still carry the pain, and they believe what was said to them is true. You know what? It affects all of their lives and even causes them great depression. The tapes buried in their heads keep playing and playing and playing, and they can't figure out, how do I erase these? There was a young lady on Facebook who posted her picture, and she said, "Do you all think I'm beautiful?" Someone responded back, "You're so ugly, you need to kill yourself." And she did. We can speak death, or we can speak life. The old saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me," that's not true. It should be, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can break my heart." Just ask anybody who's victim of malicious gossip, slander, crudeness, hateful words, especially when it's from our fans or somebody we love. During the 2015-2016 NFL season, the Minnesota Vikings place kicker Blair Walsh had made an NFL high 34 field goals. Before the Vikings playoff game against the Seattle Seahawks, he had converted 33 of 34 kicks inside 30 yards in his career. So when the Vikings were down 10-9 with 22 seconds left, Walsh lined up for a 27-yard field goal attempt. It looked like the Vikings were going to win, but his kick sailed wide, and the Vikings' season came to a screeching halt. Amid all the negative social media storm against him, and it was awful, a group of first graders in Minnesota decided they were going to write him. One little girl said, "Blair was so sad. We wanted to make him feel better." Another one wrote, "I think you should, S-H-O-O-D, keep trying. Don't give up. We still love you. Get, G-I-T, better by practicing." Tyler Duffin filled in a whole page for him. "Dear Blair, I feel, F-E-L-L, bad for you. Don't give up. You're still number one. Practice, P-R-A-C-T-I-S, so that you'll get better." It's supposed to be kicking, but it's C-I-C-I-N-G. "You're so good at that. Don't give up. Keep trying. We love you." And after so many harsh and horrible words said to him, he moved his airplane flight so that he could go into the children's classroom and greet them and say thank you. After the visit, he said, "This whole thing was very touching to me. Some of the cards were like amazingly creative, and I'm going to cherish them the rest of my life." Doesn't that sound like what Jesus would do to comfort and help those who were hurting from unkind things said to them? Doesn't that story hint at what we should do for somebody that is hurting from unkind words? Or better yet, don't both of them, including the story of Einstein and Disney, encourage us not to use our tongues to cut people down in any way? You will speak an average of 16,000 words today. That's going to add up to 860.3 million words that you're going to say in your life. What are you going to do with all those nouns and verbs and adjectives and adverbs? And what does that say about the condition of your heart? For what comes out of our mouths shows exactly what is in our hearts. With Jesus, there's a better way. There's no life hack that can fix anything. It's going to take us stopping and getting in deep communion with the Lord. If you have been dishing out words or saying things, or you know somebody has, it is time that you stopped and got in deep communion with the Lord. Remember the hiding place where I told you my cousins and I went, where we decided to let go of all that bad language? It was kind of confession for us. That's where we need to go today. We need to go to a place, the altar, our home, someplace, and we need to sit and be with Jesus and confess what is going on in our lives. I went to the chapel today, and I asked God to forgive me from my childhood all the way up until this morning with anything that I have ever said that would hurt somebody. And if you're a supervisor and you're supervising people, sometimes you have to be firm, but be careful. You can speak life or you can speak death. Well, my 9-year-old cousins and I, we adopted something that could have become commonplace in your home. And maybe you don't like something that's going on here at the church, and maybe you want to whisper behind someone's back, but I encourage you, go to that person. Find out. Try to speak life. Find out is what is going on. And not only that, Jesus says, I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. So when we decide to let go of all this, Jesus is going to be with us. I was listening to Charles Stanley the other day, and I was thinking about all of this, and sometimes we feel so broken, or we know somebody that's so broken, we think God is never, ever going to be able to put us back together. But here's what he said. Jesus will take the broken pieces of our lives, and with his unconditional love and his blood, he will glue them back together again and send us out the way we need to live. Glue us back together, unconditional love and his blood. And so I'm drawing this to a conclusion. As I look back at that summer on the farm, I realize my life could have gone a very different way. I may have chosen not to get my language corrected, and there would have been a lot of people that would have suffered needlessly. I now realize that Jesus was up in that hay barn with us, and he sifted through all of that hay, and he pulled out the brokenness in our young lives, and he put us back together, and he sent us on a mission. One has already completed his mission. The two of us are still trying to live ours out. I am so, so grateful for the people who loved us and planted the seed of God's love and forgiveness in our hearts at an early age. The journey through life is not easy. It is so easy to judge and criticize and do all those things I mentioned. We cannot live on the border. We must cross over to one side or the other. We either speak life or we speak death over another one. You have been entrusted with an incredible gift from God. You have been given the power of the spoken word. How will you use that gift this week? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for today. Thank you for calling our attention to all of the words in Scripture that we will read that tell us how to tame our tongues. We ask that you would forgive us for those things we've said that are harmful, and that you would free us for joyful obedience in the future. And now we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.